today's daf is Nun Bet. We're going to start. We'll go right back to the beginning of the Braita of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva that we started with yesterday. It's right in the center of the page. Before that discussion in Super 4 class about what the point of discussing all these mitot and what the severity is, and we were discussing that it's possible that the issue is just a way of ranking the mitzvot. Which mitzvot are the most important and which are obviously all of these are capital punishment. They're all very severe, but in terms of level of severity. And even though on the one hand we have this concept that mitzvah kala kevachamua, you shouldn't start differentiating and say, oh, it's a mitzvah kala, I don't have to do it. On the other hand, as we see in the Torah, many of the death penalties says they did it in a public forum and they want people to know, and they want it to become a sign for everybody, and therefore the rabbis thought it important to discuss what's the hierarchy in terms of what lessons do we try and teach people, what's the most severe, what's less severe, and maybe really what it's getting at is just a discussion of the difference in the mitzvot and or averot, and which ones are more severe. Okay. We're going to start with my Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabbi Yishmael Shita, we saw, I left it on the chart, that if you're in Arusa, you get Sreifa, which was different than Tanakamu, who said you get Skila, right? Remember, Rabbi Shimon says you get Sreifa across the board. Nisua Arusa. Tanakama felt that the pasuk of Bak Kohen Kitechil is note is only about a married woman, and Rabbi Shmuel is saying it's only about an engaged woman, whereas a Nisua, we get Chenek. Okay, nobody thinks it relates to a Pnuya, which we're going to talk about. So now, this bright has a few sections. Ubak Kohen Kitechel is note, B'na'ara v'hi Arusa, Katub Medaber, right? It's talking about a Na'ara who's Arusa, according to Rabbi Shmuel. B'na'ara v'hi Arusa, Eno El Afilu Nisua. Maybe it also means a Nisua. Talmud Lamar, Isha Sheyin Afet Eshet Re'e, Umot Yumad Hanoef Hanoafet. That pasuk is the general pasuk about somebody who sleeps with somebody else who's supposed to get killed, a regular Nisua. Hakol Hayu Bechlal Hanoef Hanoafet. He included even the Bak Kohen. Hotziak and included the Bat Yisrael, Nesua, and Arusa. Okay, now, here comes the, what did Torah then specified? In other words, if we only had this pasuk, it would also apply to a regular Bat Yisrael, Arusa, engaged. But, Hotziak katu Bat Yisrael beskila, Uba Kohen besreifa, but there's two exceptions to this pasuk. One is the Nara Murasa, and two is a Bako who gets skila, and two is a Bat Kohen who gets sreifa. So now he's going to say like this. Since they excluded both these things, mach shotzia katuva ba Yisrael l'skila, arusa v'lo nisua, the first exception was the ba Yisrael, who's only an arusa, and not a nisua. So therefore, comes Rabbi Yishmael and says, ach shotzia katuva ba kohen l'sreifa, arusa v'lo nisua. Okay, that's his assumption. Then the second thing he says is, zomemeha u'bo'ala b'chlav asitem lo kasher zamam. So now the Gemara says, Bo'ala mai kasher zamam. In other words, what do you mean that Zomemeha and the Bo'ala get basitem lo kasher zamam? What do you mean the Bo'ala gets kasher zamam, the one who sleeps with her? What is ma kesher to the one who sleeps with her, to the punishment kasher zamam? Ella, what does this mean? Zomemeha bichlal mitat bo'ala. That's what it means. When it says, Zomemeha u'bo'ala bichlal vasitam lo kasher zamam, it doesn't mean Zomemeha and the one who slept with her are part of this pasuk kasher zamam. No, no. It means the Zomemim of her and the bo'ala get the punishment of the bo'ala, of the one who slept with her, and not the Bat Kohen herself. Because we said this already, Shneamar vasitem lo kasher zamam lasa lachiv velo laachoto, divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, we discussed this already. We mentioned before when we saw this at the two dapim ago, right? Nun Amubet. Okay, where it said about the zomemei nesuei bat kohen. Remember, there it gave it a little bit differently. It said the zomemei bat kohen. Since the Bat Kohen is excluded, we keep viewing it as if this no'efa no'efa pasuk is general. And then we make some exclusions. So since the Bat Kohen was excluded, we're going to say, well, just she's excluded because it says he mechalelet. And the mitzv- and the zomimim don't get that that punishment. They get what was in the klal, the regular. Okay, so these are two different approaches as to why they don't get kasher zamam. It's possible that we're dealing with two different situations. There's a situation where they were only going to punish the woman and not the man. I saw, by the way, another reason why the man wouldn't be punished. We mentioned maybe they couldn't see the man, right? They can't identify him. Maybe the man was a katan, and not bar averot yet. Okay, it could be from 9 to 12, it's considered he can have sex, okay, he's of age to have sex, but he's not a gadol that you can kill him. So it could be, let's say that was the situation, or like we said, maybe he can't identify the man or something. So there's a machloket among the Rishonim about whether, according to this Gemara that we just read, which is basically the one they paskin like, that it's, you know, we go like the Boel and not her. What if it were a case where it was just the woman? So, like I said, based on the previous Gemara, it sounds like they would get chenek also. But there's actually a machloket Rishonim about it. Some say they get treifa. If it's just the woman and there is no lachiv, then they do get treifa. And some say, no, no, no. They get chenek no matter what. They never get treifa. Okay. Here comes Rabbi Akiva now. Rabbi Akiva says, Achat arusa ve'achat nesua yatzat l'sreifa. Okay, both an arusa and a nesua get sreifa. Whose opinion does he match? Rabbi Akiva, he matches Rabbi Shimon. Okay, the sreifa across the board. Yachol afilu pnuya, if you're already including all the women, why don't you also include maybe a single woman? So, ne'emar kan, here we're going to start on the second chart on the page. We're going to see, this is going to be one of those ping-pongs. If he learns that, he disagrees. So what does he learn from that pasuk, and what does he learn from that one? So, yachol afilu pnuya, ne'emar kan, afiya v'ne'emar lahalan avia. Right, we said, avia hi machalalet here, and v'alasa, I keep forgetting that pasuk, but v'alasa, beis, right, what's the pasuk, with the... Right, ki astan of alav Yisrael liznot beit avia. Okay, the Nara Morasa did his nut liznot beit avia. She did a nevala liznot beit avia. So it says avia by Nara Morasa, and it says avia by our situation. So what are we going to say? Malahalan znudim zikarabal, avkan znudim zikarabal. We saw that also. Okay, now, Amalei Rabbi Ishmael. So Rabbi Ishmael, first we have his reaction to this Gzereshav. If that's the case, then it should just be arusa and it shouldn't be nesua. In other words, if you're going to learn it this gzera shava, right, then we're going to say lohotzi pnuya, well then it should also lohotzi nesua, because we're going to say it's just like the nara morasa. So amar le Rabbi Akiva, Yishmal achi batu bata nidareish. She says, Yishmal, my brother, I darshan another pasuk. And it says, yes, from the gzera shava, we exclude the pnuya, but I have another thing which includes the nesua. What's that? Look at the pasuk again. I left it on the sheet. Ubat kohen ki techel is note. Why did it say ubat kohen? It just could have started out very simply, right? Always learn in school, never start your sentence with end. Okay, so why did it say ubat kohen? Okay, ani daresh, what's that? To include the nesua. So here's a great line. Amar le, Rabbi Yishmael says to him, now you have to remember, by the way, before we move on, Rabbi Akiva is known, what? He was Doresh every et in the Torah, right? He's the famous, right? This is the story with him, Moshe Rabbeinu sitting in the back, and he sees him. And okay, so anyway, he darshans every et in the Torah. So this is Lishitato. And Rabbi Yishmael, who's his Baal Machloket, generally doesn't darshan every vav and think that there's, right? So you have to read the sugya al reka, you know, with that background in your head. So now, what does he say to him? Amalei v'chi mipnei she'ata doresh bat ubat notzi zo l'sreifa. We're going to burn this woman, as opposed to giving her chenek. I mean, it's not like we're killing her, but we're going to burn this woman instead of giving her chenek, all because you think of this vav. We're going to take this vav, and you're going to make a whole big deal about this one vav and cause this woman to get sreifa. Im mashma lahaviyata nesua haviyata pnuya. If you want to say that vav includes the nisua, so then you should also include the pnuya. Ve'im mashmal hotziyat ha-pnuya. And if you think we should exclude the pnuya, hotziyat ha-nisua. He's saying either you want to be inclusive or exclusive. Don't give me some of this, some of that. Just because you're darshan these vavs, the vavs, you can darshan anyway. You can darshan them to include both the pnuya also. So where are you going with this, and how can we possibly make her killed by sreifa based on this drasha of yours? Which, like I said, al reka, the fact that he in general disagrees with him, it makes sense that he's saying, I understand you want darshan et to include, let's say, that you know you should have kibud for your older brother or something, right? But to darshan this vav and make someone die to sreifa, that's already going too far. Rabbi Akiva, so what's his retort? Okay, he says, well, we have two things. Now, do you want to say go across the board, either include both or exclude both? But I'll tell you this, there's two different things operating. There's a gzera shava, which is saying we should exclude. And there's a vav saying include. So it makes more sense to exclude the Pnuya and include the Nesua. Rabbi Yishmael Safar, what did he think, since he really does have a Gzera Shava and the Batubat? So why did he go against that and say it should be across the board, either include or exclude both? So Rabbi Shmuel Savar mi deka amale bat ubat shma mina hadim gzera shava. He thought Rabbi Akiva said I darshan the vav. He was saying forget the gzera shava. It's not an exclusive thing. It's an inclusive thing. So he thought he viewed him as saying I'm rejecting it. He didn't realize that Rabbi Akiva was kind of keeping both. For Rabbi Shmuel, now is a really strange question. According to all that we've said, Rabbi Shmuel doesn't darshan vavs. But now the Gemara assumes for some reason that he does darshan vavs. And they say to him, Rabbi Yishmael, hi batu bat my darshebe. Okay, what are you going to do with that vav? So it's a little strange. I'll reka the fact that, you know, it could be if they didn't find anything to darshan from it, they just say very simply, which they say in other places, the Rabbi Yishmael holds, dibrato rak lashon b'nei adam. Now it could be this isn't lashon b'nei adam, because we don't generally start a sentence with vav. So maybe in this case, dafka would make sense to darshan a vav. It's not like a vav in the middle of a sentence. It's starting out a sentence with a vav. Maybe even in that case, Rabbi Shmuel would think we darshan something. He might not go so far as to say someone additional should get straight, but he has a different drasha. So what's the drasha? Mibay lelechiditani avoy deshmuel bar avi. Lefi shematzinu shachilek hakatub bischarim bein tmimim lebaalei mumim yachol nachlok bivnotehem. Just like we have kohanim that are tmimim, that are good kohanim, meaning they don't have a mum, they don't have any blemishes, they work in the mikdash. And then we have kohanim who are balei mumim, they have blemishes, and they're not allowed to work in the mikdash. So you might have thought that maybe we should distinguish also with their daughters. Now there's a big debate here whether we mean daughters with a mum or we mean daughters of fathers with a mum. There's two different approaches. It matters. It's important in terms of, you know, lamaseh, but in terms of the sugya, we'll read it either which way. So you might have thought that maybe a daughter of a kohen with a bal, with a mum, or the daughter of a kohen who has a mum, maybe she wouldn't get strefa. Talmud lamar bat ubat. That's why it says ubat. By the way, bat ubat, it's not two words. It's one word. It's saying bat would be the typical, but the vav added to it adds this extra reason to darshan. Now, if that's the case, if that's where he learns it from the ubat, so now what's our problem? Again, the ping pong. Where is Rabbi Akiva going to learn this halacha that we include women who are benot kohen who are either balot mumim or their fathers are? Rabbi Akiva mi vehem makrivim v'hayu kodesh. Okay, this is a pasuk about the kohanim in general, and it's saying they're kedoshim yiyu le'elohehem. It's vayikra kaf aleph vav v'lo yichalalu shem elohehem. Okay, so the kohanim are going to be kedoshim. They shouldn't be mechalel shem elohehem. Ki et yishe Hashem lechem elohehem hem makrivim v'hayu kodesh. So notice kodeshim starts out the pasuk, and then there's this additional v'hayu kodesh. Why does it say v'hayu kodesh? So what does that come to include? He learns, right? There he teaches that you remain in your Kedusha status even if you're a Baal Mum and you can't do the Avoda, you still have the name Kohen on you, which means that your daughter will get Strefa. Okay. Rabbi Yishmael Imahi. So now, why can't Rabbi Yishmael learn from there? Why does he learn it from the Vav of Ubat? Imahi hava mina inu aval bnotehen lo kamashmalan. That pasuk has nothing to do with the daughters. That pasuk just has to do with the kohanim. So you might have thought that pasuk only relates to the kohanim themselves, but not to their daughters. Again, not to either if a daughter's a baal mum, or not to even if they're a baal mum and they maintain their kedusha, it doesn't necessarily mean, though, that their daughter will get strefa. That pasuk has nothing to do with daughters at all. I'd rather darshan it from the vav of ubat. For Rabbi Yishmael, now we're left with, if Rabbi Akiva, now we have to go back to the beginning. Okay, you can see in the chart, I charted out to view it like in a different way than the sugya does. But if you look in the chart, Rabbi Akiva darshan the gzera shava v'via aviyah. Rabbi Shmuel didn't darshan that. So hayat aviyah hi mechalel at my darish bay. So what does he do with that? Mebaile lechidetanya, he needs it for this brayta. Haya Rabbi Meir omer, ma tamud lomar et aviyah hi mechalel at? What is it? Why does it say in the pasuk? Rabbi Meir starts out and says, why does it say at aviyah hi mechalel? What does it come to teach us? She'im, this is a very interesting halacha. Et aviyah hi mechalelet, he views as a command almost. Okay, we're going to see right now. She'im hayu noagim bo kodesh, noagim bo chol. That if everybody treated that kohen with kedusha, once his daughter sleeps with someone else, and she's a married woman or an engaged woman, then noagim bo chol. Now people should treat him as if he's not kodesh. kavod, if they treated him with kavod, nohagim bo bizayon. Yeah, they should treat him with disgrace, contempt. Omrim arur shezo yelad. Omrim arur shezo yalad. Arur shezo gidel. Arur sheyatza zemichalatzav. Right, for all our modern parenting and all that, right, and we try to say our kids' problems are not our fault. Okay, this sugya clearly sides on the other side. Okay, so what's it saying? Right, arur that you gave birth to this woman. Arur that you brought up this woman, and arur that this came out from you. Okay. Harsh. Amar Ravashi. Okay, if you're feeling bad though, here comes Ravashi to make you feel a little better. Kiman kirinan rasha bar rishia, va'afilu l'rishia bar tzadika. According to who do we call someone a rasha, the son of a rasha, or in this case, the daughter of a rasha, even to a rishia bar tzadika, right? Even if their father's a tzadik, according to who do we call this person a Rasha bar Rasha, okay? Kiman kahaitana. Rav Ashi's saying, this is one opinion, okay? This isn't all the opinions, okay? In other words, he's trying to tell you, this follows the opinion that once you become a Rasha, it goes back to your father, and we're going to call your father a Rasha also. But, or your mother, for all intents and purposes, but not everybody agrees with this, right? Some people, there's a term called a Rasha ben Tzadik. There is such a thing. So, in other words, we don't necessarily all believe that we have to badmouth the father. But Rabbi Yishmael views et aviyahim chalelet that almost that it will come true. Oh, I would say it's not a tzivoy because et aviyahim chalelet, the command is toward her really. So it's not a command, but it's saying she will be mechalel her father, and her father, in fact, will get cursed and abused and treated poorly by people, etc. Okay, it's an interesting approach. Zo mitzvah haniskalim. Okay, now we're back to the very last line of the Mishnah. This is the mitzvah of the niskalim. We said it seems like it's been a bit of a strange place. My tana dekatani zo mitzvah haniskalim. Why did the Tana bother to use those words? Mishum detana nigmar hadim motzino tol saklo. How did it start with skila? It started like this. If nigmar hadim, remember we were, if who can remember, right? But where did we start? We were going through the whole procedure, and then immediately it said, and when you finish the din, it said, motziyin oto l'saklo, which was strange, because it's not necessarily the every case of skila, right? So now they're telling you, and then it said, beit ha-skila haya gavoa shtei komot, va'ayde dekabaya l'mitnei mitzvah d'nisrafin, and now we want to move to the next topic, so in order to close this topic, it's a way of sealing it, we say, tananami, zo mitzvah d'niskalim. Sometimes you have a Mishnah, and it doesn't start out with a name, and then it says Divrei Rabbi Meir at the end, right? So this is like that. It's saying, instead of putting it at the beginning, it's putting it at the end. It's saying, because why did it put it at the end? Because there, it wanted to go straight into it. When Nigmar Adim, then they would take him outside to the Beit HaSkila house, right? And they would bring him to the Beit HaSkila. So it transitioned much better into there rather than having an intro term there. But now that we finished the whole discussion, it's almost like we finished now from where we started in the beginning of, I guess it was the fourth parak, or even before, I think, at the end of the third parak. Ketzah Mayimim Melaidim, what would they say to them? Then they would try that, right? They would bring everyone into court. They would do the whole procedure. Nigmar Adin, they would take him out to the Beit HaSkila, and now they want to tell you, well, it wasn't always the Beit HaSkila, so now they say, okay, so that, we finish now with the Niskalim. The first example we gave you was about Skila. Now we're going to continue where we started off with Nigmar Adin, but now we're going to go through how it works for Strefa, Chenek, Hereg, and Chenek, which, for you guys, it's good. We're going to have all the graphic details and gory details today. We're going to get through all of them today. Mitzvah HaNisrafin. So how did they burn people? Hayu meshakin oto bezevel adar kuvotav. They would stick him in the garbage, okay, or in dung or something like that. Really pretty disgusting. Almost like burying him in the sand, okay, but they would stick him in until his knees. Okay, here we're worried that his body will move and the lead will pour on his body. We want the lead. We're going to see it's going to go into his throat. So they would stick him into the zevel adar kuvotav so he wouldn't move. V'notnin sudar kashe l'toch haraka. They put a hard scarf, a hard sheet, and a soft sheet. Why do they do them both together? So they say, a soft sheet, the concern is, I forget, a hard sheet, they're worried is going to, if they're going to like strangle him a little, they're worried it's going to kill him right away, and that we don't want that to happen. So, and the soft one, we're worried if we just do the soft, maybe it won't be sufficient. It won't work for what we need it for. We're going to see in a minute what we need it for. So they take a hard and a soft together. Right, instead of saying like an in-between one, right? Instead, they take both. I don't know why they didn't have something in between. And they wrap it around his neck. Now, who's the two people? The witnesses. Because Yada Edim Tiyeh Bo Berishona L'Saklo, but even not in Skila, but in all the Mito, we're going to try to have the witnesses involved if possible. So, we're going to pull. Each one's going to pull to side to side. What's the point of this? It's in a way, I don't know exactly how this works. I didn't want to try it at home. But, mm-hmm. you know, if you start pulling the scarf in two directions, it will cause his mouth to open. You can try it if you want. I don't recommend it, but right, maybe. Yeah. Right, he'll start gasping for air, maybe. And then as soon as his mouth opens, then they light the wick. We'll see in the Gemara what this wick is. And they throw it into his mouth, and it goes into his innards. And it burns his insides. And that's how Sreifa works. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, but Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. If you start strangling him like that, what if he dies right then and there? And then you're not going to fulfill the mitzvah of Sreifa. We're seeing that they've talked about this before, and we're going to see it more today. They view this as a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to carry out the mitah beitin. It's a mitzvah of the court to carry out the mitah and the proper mitah. So therefore, if they strangle him before they actually get to, which is interesting because the skila, they view, right, you would think skila is with a stone, but in theory they could have dropped him from the roof and he would have died that way, and that's still considered skila. Okay, but that's because that's not a different mitah beitin. Right, and it's here, the first stage of what Tanna Kamma says is basically strangulation. We're going to see it when we get there. It's exactly described in the same way. So if you do that, you'll end up killing this person by chenek and not by sreifa. So that's a problem. Whereas throwing someone from the Beit HaSkila is part of the killing of Skila, even though we think Skila of stones, but it's not only stoning, it's also throwing down. Okay, so now... Therefore, what does he say? Ela potech et piv bitzvat shelo b'tovato. Shelo b'tovato means against his will, and bitzvat is with prongs. They open his mouth with prongs against his will. Umadligat haptila, and then they light the wick. V'zorka l'toch piv, and they throw it into his mouth. V'yoredet l'toch me'av, v'chomeret et b'nei me'av. The second part is all the same. Okay. Now we have an interesting thing, which is going to come later in the Gemara. Amar v'lezer b'tzadok. Maseh b'bat kohen achat shezimta. There was a case that happened where bat kohen was zimta, slept with someone. V'kifua chavilez morot u'sarfua. Right? The way you would think of sreifa is exactly the way they did it. What did they do? They put twigs around her, they lit it on fire, and she burned up. What's the major difference here? We'll see it in the Gemara, but her body burns, right? Her entire body burns instead of just the inside of the body, right? They kill her from the inside rather than kill her from the outside. So he says there was a case where that happened. They did that. Amarlo, either which way, they said to him, "Mipnei shelo haya betin shelo tasha abaki." That was incorrect. What they didn't know is he was trying to say, "Look, this is the mitzvah of sreifa," and they said, "What do you mean? They got it all wrong." Now, from the Mishnah, it sounds like there ain't no baki. From the Gemara, we're going to see that there was stukim, okay? Because the stukim go by the pshat in the Torah, which is sreifa. Now, how they get to what they say we do, we're going to see in the Gemara. Okay, it's obviously going to be drashot, which the stukim didn't believe in. My ptila, which all the more so, if they say, and it's one thing to say, okay, well, it was just someone who wasn't bucky, but to say it was the stuki court, that already turns us into a much bigger debate, right, between them and Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok. My ptila, what is this ptila that they're talking about? I'm Rav Matna ptila shel avar. Okay, it's lead. It's a wick of lead, okay, which isn't really a wick. There's no wick in lead. What did they do? They would melt the lead so it became liquid, mm-hmm. and then they would pour it down the throat. That's what Rav Matna explains that they're talking about. When they say they put a ptila inside, they don't light a candle and put the candle inside, right? They light, they melt the lead, and then they have this hot lead, and they pour the hot lead inside. Minalan, okay, so now how do we know that this is how we kill, and we don't wrap people with these chavilez morot? We learn it from Adak Korach. There, the people got burned, if you remember, at the end. But, okay, they get burned. And because of that, how did they get burned? Malahalan Srefat Neshama V'Guf Kayam. Afkan Srefat Neshama V'Guf Kayam. Since it says there's a burning by the Adab Korach, and there's a burning here, what are we going to say? It's the same as it was there. There, it was just the neshama, but the guf was still intact. The body was still there. Likewise here. How we know there, we don't know yet. Okay? First, we're going to start with that. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Amar, Atya Srefa Srefa Mibine Aharon. We learn it from, who else got burned? Nadav and Aviv. Ma lahalan Srefa Neshama V'Guf Kayam. Afkan Srefa Neshama V'Guf Kayam. Now, you say we learn it from Bnei Aharon. So Mandi Yalef Me'adah Korach Minale. How do we know that they were burned the inside, but not their bodies on the outside? Dichtiv ve'et machtot ha'chataim ha'ele bin nafshotam. It talks about in the next parak, they take the machtot that they had used, and they said, bring this whole ceremony happens. Anyway, it says, bring the machtot, the pans of these chotim, bin nafshotam. Okay, so now what does it mean? Hachataim ha'ele b'nafshotam, shenishmatan nisrefet v'guf kayam. It's saying that they got, okay, now what's weird is, this is saying they were chotim b'nafshotam, but the assumption is, if they sinned b'nafshotam, then their punishment must have been b'nefesh, and not b'guf. Okay? So we'll see soon, other people are going to say, no, it's just referring to the punishment, but the sin, but not the punishment. But the first assumption is, and that you have to remember, one says we're going to learn it from Korach, and one says we're going to learn it from Bnei Aharon. So if you're going to learn it from Korach, then you're not going to learn it from Bnei Aharon. If you learn it from Bnei Aharon, you're not going to learn it from Bnei Korach. So we're going to have two interpretations each time according to each person. So right now we want to explain who thought that Korach was Srefat Neshama V'Guf Kayam, and that's based on Benaf Shotam. V'idach, what is the one who learns from Bnei Aharon say about Korach then? Hahi Srefa Mamashi, right? They actually got really burned, like with, their whole bodies. Umay b'nafshotam, how do you darshan that? Shenitchayvu Srefa aliskei nafshotam. They were liable for Srefa because of iskei nafshotam. What does that mean? It had to do with food, okay? This is the concept, right? Generally, you'll see this theme, by the way, throughout in many stories, that food and sex are the main motivators to undermine people, right? To get them to sin. So, how do we know? They were chayav srefa l'skein afshotam. Kidirish Lakish, Tamarish Lakish, my dechti b'chonfi la'agei, I have to read this with the nikud, it's a complicated pasuk. B'chonfi la'agei ma'og, charok alai shinemo. What does this mean? With b'chonfi, flattering, la'agei, mocking, with flattering mockery, Ma'og is spitefulness. So flattering mockery of spitefulness. Charok alai shenai. They gnash at me with their teeth. Okay, so what does this pasuk mean? Okay, so how does this connect? What are we going to say? It's pasuk in Tehillim. B'shvil chanufa shechnifu lekorach aliskei ligima. Korach wooed them with food. He said, hey guys, free food. He got them to come. Eat, like, and once they came to eat, what?
Sounds like whiskey.
Yeah. Whiskey, ligima, yeah, dafka whiskey. It was, okay, so it could have been. Okay, right, it does say drinking. Okay, so he wooed them. I saw in the commentary about, right, Rashi says, divrei ma'an, lashon davar ha-ne'echal. But okay, food and drink, all of it together. Charak alehen sar shel gehenom shinav. The sar of Gehenom gnashed his teeth at them. Okay, that's how they understand that pasuk. That's why they got killed. That's why they joined him, because he wooed them with food and they fell for the bait. Okay, and therefore that's what it means b'nafshotam. Okay? Not that they got punished b'nafshotam. Now, umandi yalef mi b'nei aharon minale. So how do we know that they died? Right, their neshama, not their guf. Dichtiva yamutu lefnei Hashem. So it says, and they died before Hashem. How do we understand they died? They died. Sounds like they died a natural death, ke'em mita, like a regular death. Now, what's a regular death? A regular death, it's your neshama goes out, right? Not your body. Your body usually doesn't disintegrate when you die. Your neshama goes out. So therefore, they're assuming that they must have died through shreifa, but in a shreifa that was in there. V'idach, and what about the other guy who said Korach and not Bnei Aharon? Where does he learn it from? Ha'hu shreifa mamash havai. They actually got really burned, from the outside. Umay dechti vayamutu. Their death started as a regular mita, meaning the burning started inside but then went outside. Titania, Abi Yossi ben Dostai, where there's a brayta that supports this. Shnei chutin shel esh yatzu mibeit kodesh hakodeshim. These two strings of fire came out of the kodesh kodeshim. V'nechleku la'arba, and then they split into four. V'nechnesu shtayim b'chotamo shel zeh, v'shtayim b'chotamo shel zeh, and they went up each of their nostrils, the four strings, usrafum, and burned them on the inside. So then it burned them on the inside, but then eventually their bodies were also burned. Because it was a fire as opposed to hot lead, which will just go inside. Okay? And therefore, the one who says Korach doesn't learn it from Bnei Aharon. So now we have all the different options of seeing how they possibly died. Then they say, V'hakti v'tochal otam, but it says v'tochal otam, which sounds like otam, but not their body, right? Not their goof. So they say, no. Otam v'lo bigdehen. It means their bodies, but not their clothes. Okay? V'neilaf. So now we have those two options. Now, what was the logic here? That they went to the Torah, and they said, where do we see Strafa in the Torah? Let's learn out from the Strafa in the Torah. We have Strafa by Bnei Korach, we have Strafa by Bnei Aharon, by Adah Korach and Bnei Aharon. So now the question is, right, the Bnei Korach lo metu. So now the question is, Bnei Lech mi Parim ha Nisrafim. Why don't we learn it from a different place? We have the Parim ha Nisrafim. We learned about these. This is the Par Helen Debershol Tzibur, and the Par Kohen HaMashuach. And there's ones that are inside, there's ones that are outside, but they're burned entirely. And they're burned like a fire. Okay, so why don't we learn it out from there? Malahalan Srefa Mamash, Afkan Srefa Mamash. So now they're going to say, why would we rather learn it from those other cases and not from Parim ha Nisrafim? Okay, we're going to categorize. We had this in the studio a few days ago. What are we going to say? We'd rather learn it from Korach and Bnei Aharon, Shekein. There's four similarities. It's the same ones we saw last time. Adam, it's both a person, right? Korach, Bnei Aharon, and the person who's going to be killed right now, Mitapetin, as opposed to a par who's going to be killed. V'chote, there's someone who sinned, as opposed to the par, didn't do anything wrong. Nishama, there's a Nitilat Nishama, which the truth is, right, it's a Nishama of a person rather than Nishama of an animal. And Pigul, there's no din of Pigul by Korach and Bnei Aharon where there is din Pigul of Parim and Nisrafim. And again, that would be more similar to the person who's getting killed by the Mitapetin. So then they say, but Adrabah, mi Parim Nisrafim, Avalelamelef. You could have learned it from Parim Nisrafim. Shekein, Machshir, and Lidohot. Okay, and let's, Machshir, they're both Machshir a mitzvah. In other words, they're enabling us to be Mekayim a mitzvah. This goes back to what we said before. They, doing the Mita Beitin enables us to perform a mitzvah. We're chayav to kill someone who's liable for death. And the Parim Nisrafim is a chiyuv, whereas Korach and Bnei Aharon, it wasn't a chiyuv. Okay, and it's Lidorot. Those were one-time events. And this is forever, right? This is both of these, the Mita Beitin. Again, it's not forever because it's limited to when we have Sanhedrin and or new, whatever. Limited to a bunch of things. But it's, the concept is it's Lidorot. And likewise, the Parim HaNisrafim. So why wouldn't we learn it from there? So last time, if you remember, we said it's quality versus quality. This time it's going to go by quantity because it works better that way for us here. So now they say, Hanach Nefishin. There's more. There's four similarities to the first one and, you know, less to the Parim HaNisrafim. Now we're going to say, Mandi Yalef Me'ada Korach, Maitaima Lo Yalef Mi Bnei Aharon. What did we say until now? We said, the one who learns from Bnei Aharon thinks that Bnei Aharon died inner and not outer, and Korach didn't. And then we said, well, why don't we learn from Parim HaNisrafim? Because these are better to learn from. But if you're going to say we're going to learn from Korach or Bnei Aharon, so the one who's... One of them, each one thinks that the other was burned from the outside and one was burned from the inside. So why did they choose to learn it from the one who was burned from the inside? Why didn't we learn it from the other person who was also Adam Chote and Neshama and doesn't have Pigul? Why didn't we learn from the other one, which would teach us to burn the whole thing, the outside also? So what are the answer? Right, so they say, we don't learn it from Bnei Aharon because that was really Strefa Mamash. V'nei Lef Mina, but they say, so why don't you learn that Strefa Mamash? So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Revu, Amar Kra, and we keep going over the same thing. V'havta l'reach ha'kamocha, the pasuk says, you should love your friend like yourself. Bror lo mita yafa, so do it in the easiest way. So on the one hand, we have this hierarchy, that if you did something more severe, you have to punish them in a more severe manner. On the other hand, it's much quicker if you pour hot lead down someone's throat, they'll die instantly, whereas if you start a fire till the fire takes effect, till it gets to the inside, till it really kills the person, will take a little while. It's like the story of Rabbi Akiva, right? Rabbi Hananya ben Tradyon, where they wrapped him and they made it so that the fire would take a very long time. They wet everything and made it, right? It takes time. So, V'chime achar d'ikar d'Rav Nachman, gzera shava l'amali. Well, if you're going to say it's like Rav Nachman, so why do you even need the gzera shava? Obviously, then we're going to learn that you pour hot lead. We don't even need to say you learned it out from Bnei Aaron, you learned it out from Bnei Korach. Ilav gzera shava, hava mina streifa neshama v'guf kayam. Lav streifa hi klal. If you didn't have the gzera shava, you would have thought that burning, pouring hot lead down someone's throat wouldn't even be considered streifa. So in other words, yes, we say borlo mitayafa, but would have to fit in with streifa. So we need also the gzera shava to teach us that that's also considered streifa. If it's the whole issue is borlo mitayafa, so lafish lechami leiz morot, ki echad yelishrof la'agel. Why don't you just wrap him with a ton, and I'd start with a huge fire that will die instantly. Kamash malan, that's why you need it to tell you no. That's why you need the Gzeira Shava, to say we have to learn it out from them, and it's from the inside. Okay. Since we talked about Nadav and Avihu, we're going to have, there's always a debate about what did Nadav and Avihu do wrong. There's many opinions. We're going to have one of them here in our Gemara. Ukvar hayu Moshe v'Aron malchim baderech, v'Nadav v'Avihu malchim achareihen, v'chol Yisrael achareihen. Okay, we have the C, Moshe and Aaron are in the leaders. Nadav and Avihu are in between, and the people are behind them, right? I don't think this means that they're actually walking in a path. I think it means, right, in terms of leadership and where the hierarchy was. Amar lo Nadav v'Avihu, matay yamutu shnei zkenim alalu, v'ani v'atan, and he get hador. Right? When is it going to be our turn that we're going to, these guys are going to die and we're going to rule, which is the natural course of events. Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu, hanir em mi koveret mi. God said, you're looking for authority, you're looking for srara, you want to take over? We'll see who buries who, okay? You know, the order of events is going to switch. Amra Papa, here's a weird line. Hainu damra inchein defishe gamle sabe de tiine mashke de hogne. There's a lot of old gmalim who are wearing young skin. Okay, what it means is the older people are taking the place of the younger people because the younger people are dying and the older people have to take their place instead of them taking the older people's place. Okay, so here we're going to see there's a bit of this. On the one hand, you shouldn't take srara. You shouldn't look for to be in charge. On the other hand, we'll see later in the daf, maybe the other direction. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Lemata mi chacham domer lefnei ma'aretz b'tchila. So now we're going back to Korach. Korach, what did he do? He tried to woo the people by food and drink to get them on their side. So a tami chacham that goes to the Am Haaretz, what does he look like in the face of the Am Haaretz? B'tchilan domel kiton shel zahav. First, he looks like a goblet of gold. Right? They look at him. Wow, look at this tami chacham. Siper hemenu, he starts to talk to him, domel kiton shel kesef. Once he starts schmoozing with them and stoops to their level, he starts to look a little lower in their eyes. Nehenemi menu, domel kiton shel cheres. And once they start benefiting from him, in other words, he starts giving them food and drink, like Korach, then he starts to look like a kiton, a goblet of cheres. What happens with the goblet of cheres? Kevan shenishbar shuv ein lo takana. Once it breaks, it can't be fixed. So in other words, it's trying to say, it's interesting, because we just said a minute ago, don't look for leadership. On the other hand, this one is saying you need to create distance. When you're in a certain place, you have to, so there's this constant struggle between leaders maintaining their distance and saying, we're in a leadership position and take us seriously and respect us, commanding respect. On the other hand, not trying to look for too much leadership and saying, I'm in charge, I'm better, I'm this. So there's a constant, and this is a constant struggle, and it's perfect that it's right here in Sanhedrin, when we're talking about the shoftim and all the dangers of being a shofet and being in charge and all the struggles of it. So,
like, it's also warning them against taking bribes.
Right, exactly, bribes, right.
You're a political figure and you're taking bribes.
Right, so this is the opposite direction. This is you're giving money to people rather than taking money from people. This was Korach as the leader was giving out money and food and... But it all connects to all those things about being, you know, keeping yourself on the one hand, right? It's a dichotomy to struggle with. You have to find the proper balance. That's really what it's all about. Okay. Imrata batale, tale. Imrata batale, it's a person, a woman. She was a bat kohen shezin tahavai. Achpa Rav Chama Bartuvia chavilez mora usrafa. Rav Chama Bartuvia surrounded her with twigs and burned her. Okay, there's a bunch of problems with this. Amar Rav Yosef, Ta'aba Tarte, made two mistakes. Ta'aba de Rav Matna, he forgot that Rav Matna said you're supposed to pour hot lead. Okay, and forgot about that. V'ta'aba de Tanya, Ubat el Kohanim, Valavim, Vela Shofet, Asher Yabayim, Imahem. Bizman sheyesh kohen, yesh mishpat. I told you there's other criteria. It's not just Sanhedrin, but there has to be a kohen. When there's kohen, there's mishpat. Bizman she'ein kohen, ein mishpat. Nowadays we have no kohenim. So how could he possibly have done the death penalty? Now some people explain that, what was he thinking? Like, he didn't know we don't do the death penalty? So some people felt that he was trying to make an example. I think it's the Marshal, one of them says, he was trying to make an example of her because there was obviously a lot of promiscuity and he wanted to set an example. And he specifically chose not to do it in the way of the Mita Beitim because he didn't want to have people think he was doing the Mita Beitim, which in the end is what happened. But he was trying to do it in a way that people wouldn't realize, you know, wouldn't think that he was doing some other thing. And it shows that there's, or maybe he was wrong, but he saw that there was a situation that needed intervention in this way, and he did it. And Rav Yosef wasn't very happy with him that he did it, but maybe that was his thinking. It wasn't that he was trying to do the Mita Beit and he did it wrong, and it wasn't that he was trying to do capital punishment without the Sanhedrin. No, he was, but not the capital punishment of the Sanhedrin. Okay, he had a different agenda. And then some people say that what was wrong with what he did, it seems like it was reasonable if he needed to make an example, but people said, no, you shouldn't have made an example with a Bat Kohen. You should have made an example with a common case. The Bat Kohen was a unique case. You should have made an example with a common case of a woman who was sleeping around. Okay, Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Yitzchak, Masebe Bat Kohen Shezinta. I'm Rav Yosef, Beitin Shel Tzdukin Hava. Okay, it was a Beitin Shel Tzdukin, Rav Yosef says, which is interesting because maybe that's also one of the reasons Rav Yosef went against him, because he felt like you might not be doing it the way the court did it, but you're worse because you're doing it the way the Tzdukin did it. And that is really bad. Hachi Amalehu, did it really go like this? He said, I saw this happen, and they said to him, how could that possibly be? That's what the Beitin Sheino Baki. V'hatanya, didn't the story go differently? Amar b'lezer b'rubi tzadok, zacharuni shayiti tinok u'murkavak tefos shel abba. If you remember, we've seen scenes like this before. I remember when I was a little kid and I was on my father's shoulders, v'hibiyu b'kohen shezintan, I saw it, they brought a b'kohen that had slept around, v'kifuach habilez morot u'srafua, and they burned her. Amrulo katana yita ve'ei mevim rayam in a katan. You were young. You can't bring proof from something you saw when you were a kid. We don't believe that. So was it this version or was it the version in our Mishnah? So they answer shnei masim havu. Okay, both of them were true. He brought them both reasons. One when he was a katan and one when he was a gadol. So hey amrulo bereisha, which one did he tell them first? And that's each one they rejected. Follow. So now what was the order of events? If the one of our Mishnah, he said first, what? After he said, I saw this when I was a gadol, then you think he's going to bring an example, well, I saw this when I was a katan, and he thinks they're going to listen to him then? No. So, Ela, he must have said this one first about the katan, and they said, you can't bring us proof when you're a katan. So then he said, he said, well, not only when I was a katan, but I also saw another time it happened when I was a gadol. And they said, oh, the Beit Din that you saw wasn't a Baki Beit Din. Okay, unfortunately, we're not going to get to the Neragin and the Nechnakin today. We'll get to them tomorrow, and we'll see how they strangled and how they did by the sword. Yay.